Good evening, Oklahoma. Hey. How is everybody doing tonight? Are we doing okay? There. Well, good. Well, my name is Michael Cross. I've been hosting the morning show for KOSU, and I'm really glad to have all of you here tonight. We do want to start out and let you know that what we're going to be doing tonight, we were supposed to have, we're going to have a forum with Senator McCaffrey and Colonel Steve Russell. Colonel Russell couldn't make it tonight, so it's just going to be Senator McCaffrey. He'll be answering, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to, if it's okay, we're going to have him make a couple of statements, and then I'll open it up to questions, and that way you can just ask him any question that you have. We do want to point out that Colonel Russell's people are here. We got Andrew Spino over here. So we do have his campaign represented, just not up here at the table. So, is his mic ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Again, and we do want to mention thank you very much to Picasso's for allowing us to be here. The special for the evening is a pumpkin patch ale. Is anyone trying that one?
Yes.
Is it good? There you go. And it comes with a pulled pork slider. Pork. That's a vegan pulled pork, so that's why I'm doing the air quotes. Pork slider. So, enjoy, sit back, relax. Like I said, we're going to have start out in just a moment. If you don't know, Senator Al McCaffrey started, he was with the U.S. Navy and also was an Oklahoma City police officer. He's also been a member of the State House and then moved on to the State Senate, and is now running for Congress now that James Lankford himself is running for U.S. Senate. So if you could please give a hand to Senator McCaffrey. Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
And Senator, just go ahead and just a couple of minutes just to talk to just an opening statement.
Sure. First of all, I want to say thank you for all that everyone's showing up tonight for the debate. I'm sorry Steve could not be here, but I think it's time that we that the people of Oklahoma, of CD5, have a chance to ask questions of the candidate. You know, we prepare ourselves for everything that we can prepare for, but I think it's the best thing we ever could do is when we see that we have an audience here that's eager to see what, to have representation in CD5, and tonight that's what I want to do is answer your questions, earn your vote. You know, I've been in the House of Representatives I was there for 6 years, and the Senate for 2 years. I've learned to work with the people of this district. I took in from Northwest 50th to Southwest 44th. So I've been around for a long time. And I've always, everybody says this is a little corny statement, but this is what we've done. We've always put people before politics. And that's what we'll continue doing as we go into Congress. It's so important that I hear what you have to say and carry that message with me and represent you as we have represented you in District 88 and 46. So again, thank you for letting me be here. Thank you, Michael, for doing this. And let's have some questions.
All right, do we have any questions to start out with? Right back here.
Good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
The question I have is, what has your campaign done to energize the minorities within the district, help them to understand how to get registered and be prepared to go vote?
That's a good question. Thank you for the question. But what we have done with the minorities, we've actually been working in the community. We've talked to many of the leadership in the minority base, in the African American, senior citizens. We've even gone to some of the retirement homes to make sure they know that what's happening and that we are able to, or we are running for Congress, and answer any of their questions. So that's what we've done. We've had tables set up at different events to register not only the minorities, but for anyone that was not registered, Democrat or Republican, it didn't make a difference. You are welcome to register because I think it's important that you vote.
And a question back here.
On women's issues, it seems like women are paid like, what, 77% compared to a dollar for men. How do you stand on that equality pay for women, and how do you think your opponent stands on it?
David, I can't answer what Senator Russell would say or Colonel Russell. But when I stand, you know, David, I have three daughters, and one's a school teacher and the other two are homemakers, but I guarantee you, a woman that's doing the same job should earn the same pay. I've always stood that way throughout my whole career. Sometimes, you know, after dealing with a lot of the legislators that are the female legislators, we're finding that they have a better idea a lot of times than we do. And they have a more of a passion. And they should be making the same money that we do, which we do in the House and Senate. But when you start talking about the labor market, women are never paid or usually paid about 27 cents less than a man. Because you know, you got to realize there are single moms out there tonight that need to pay for child support. They need to take care of the kids when they go to school. And if we don't pay them as much as a man doing the same job, you should be ashamed of yourself. We've done that in my small business, and we'll continue doing that as long as we own one.
Any questions here? Questions? Yes, sir.
I have two real quick questions. One is regarding civil forfeiture, and the other is regarding police brutality and in regards to, say, the Ferguson, Missouri. For civil forfeiture, when I observe the amounts close to $2 billion that is charged against people that are not charged against a crime, but their assets are seized because of the preponderance of the evidence that they may commit a crime.
I can respond about the police involvement, okay? Like in Ferguson. As Oklahoma City police officer, I was a police officer in 1972, when Oklahoma City was still very divided. I worked in Northeast Oklahoma City. What we've learned over the period of time here in Oklahoma City is that you have to look at the evidence when you go into a minority area. You have to understand the minorities, and you have to work with the leadership of the minorities. I think it is wrong, I'll say what I know about Ferguson, Missouri, the overstepping of the boundaries of the police officers. I'm not sure exactly what happened. You hear stories, I wasn't there. But I know here in Oklahoma City, when we were having there was areas of Oklahoma City that you did not go into without having two police officers or a backup with you. But we always treated them very professional. When we came in encounter with them, we treated them like we would anyone else. If we needed to make the arrest, we were arrested. They were taken to jail, and we booked them like anyone else. We did not try to incite a riot by calling people's name, or because you're black, or you're Asian, or you're Hispanic. That didn't make a difference. What it was is that you were treated the same and treated equally. That's why the police department in Oklahoma City was taught when I was there, and I believe Bill City continues doing that as the chief of police.
Other questions? Back here, anyone? Yes.
Senator, we know that Congress likes to play games, and this Congress hasn't got anything done. How will you get bills passed?
Well, you know, thank you, Calvin, for that question. First of all, this Congress is the worst Congress we've ever had. We used to say Truman had the worst Congress. But Truman's Congress even passed 13 more bills than this Congress has. I think that the same thing as happens when you go in the House of Representatives and the Senate here in Oklahoma. I've always been in the minority. I've been able to walk across the aisle and make friends with the other side. You find moderates that you can work with, and you find your bills that you want to pass. You go with the moderates that's in majority, you ask them for your help. You have to change some language sometimes. As long as it doesn't go against what you're trying to do and your conscience and what we're trying to achieve for the people of Oklahoma, that's what you have to do. You have to be able to work with both sides. You can't just say the word no and go down the road, because no doesn't work. You have to say, okay, what shall we do? We had a Republican senator when I had a bill to pass, and I could not get it through the committee. I went to him and I said, Senator, what do we need to do? He said, change one word. You change will to shall to will. And that's exactly what we did. We put it in the committee, it went through, it passed. So you have to work with the individuals on how to do that.
Other questions? Well, here we go, right back here.
You're a veteran, your opponent is a veteran, but I can only ask you, I know this has more to do in a sense with the U.S. Senate, but do you think that the United States is overextended in terms of its military commitments around the world?
I don't believe that we should be the police officers of the world. Right now, I do believe that we have an issue over in Iraq and Libya that we need to address because I believe it's a threat to the United States. But should we be a police officer of the world? No.
Right back here.
Do you think we should increase the federal investment in infrastructure, and how would you make that happen, or what do you think we should do?
Thank you for that question. In Oklahoma, we're a poor state, and by sitting on committees of transportation, for an example, our infrastructure is crumbling. We spent most of our money in rebuilding our bridges because our bridges were unsafe, and now our roads are becoming in worse condition. I spoke to ODOT before we left session this last year, and they said we're going to put a lot more money into our roads to maintain them because we haven't had the money to do so. We get money back from the federal government, but we do not get 100%. Some of the states get 105, 110% of the money. Unless you ask for the money, no one's going to give it to you. I'm not saying that they would give it to me, but you would ask for it and explain why that we have to have the money to do so. If we don't ask for the money and have a reason for the money and why we should do by rebuilding our roads for safety, we'll never get it. But we have money there in Washington. We should try to get it back for our infrastructure.
Other questions? Well, let me ask you, just because we're going to you're talking about congressional, being in Congress. What about immigration? What is your opinion on the immigration? Is there more that we need to do? What else do we need to do as far as when it comes to immigration?
But you know, there's a bill in Congress that actually addressed the immigration, and it was a bipartisan bill, my understanding was, but the Republican Party there in the House decided not to hear the bill. I believe we should look at this, at the bill, find out exactly what it is. We need to change our immigration policy. Our immigration policy today, when people's been here in the United States for all these years and have not been able to become a citizen, we need to look at that and figure out how we could expedite becoming a citizen. Let's make them taxpayer citizens. The more taxpayer citizens we have, the way we reduce our deficit. It's been proven if we change the immigration policy, our deficit can be lowered.
I have a question right back here.
Senator, this election cycle, unlike other election cycle, the disappointment in government period seems to be at an all-time high. What would you do, for one, to bring government to a more respectable standpoint? And what could we do to make the exchange between the right and the left a little bit more appeasable? We can't even get people to sit down at the same table.
Well, Sean, thank you for that. Sometimes they don't want to sit at the same table. I have some members in the Senate that don't want to sit at the same table with me or sit with other Democrats. But what we do is try to work around that area. You know, I think it's a bad situation when you have an elected official that will not sit down with another elected official and talk to them about what the issues are. I believe you should have the right to stand there and talk to them and say, this is my thoughts, this is what my constituents have to say, and we're trying to pass a bill, this is what we'd like to do to make sure that our constituents are safe, or economic growth, whatever it may be. You have to have the dialogue, and the individuals or the elected official that's not willing to do so, they really don't want to represent the people. They represent their own interests is how I look at it.
Senator, right now the oil and gas prices are kind of heading down, which a lot of people around the nation will say that's a good idea if they're paying for their cars. But in Oklahoma, that could have a detrimental effect on our economy. How do we deal with the volatility in oil and gas prices?
You know, when the oil and gas prices went on the market futures, it changed everything. Before then, we was buying gas for a quarter and 50 cents, 75 cents. I'm old enough to remember that. But when it started going to the future, it changed everything. I can't answer how we could make sure how we can keep the prices up. The only thing I could say is that Oklahoma needs to be supported of the oil and gas business. It is the backbone of oil and gas. In the 80s, we saw that it went under, and we saw that the oil and gas companies folded, and many people became unemployed, and our banks went under. So it was not a very positive time during that period of time. What we have to do is find out how to be more conservative with our fuel and be able to support the oil and gas companies, because trust me, they may be down to 80, 75, $80 a barrel. It will go back up.
Any other questions around here? Well, let me, right down here. Yeah, good.
Kind of speaking up to the oil, especially since oil is not a long-term sustainable source of energy in, for the next, you know, 100 whatever years, what's your stance on exploring alternative energies for the state, especially since the economy relies so heavily on oil?
Thank you very much for that question. We've always done that, supporting wind power. Wind power is a really important area, and we have a lot of wind, especially in western Oklahoma. And they tell me there's a lot of wind over there on 23rd and Lincoln. And so we should have a lot of wind power. But the thing is, we have wind power, we have natural gas. There's clean burning coal that's really questionable right now, but still we have those. But the main thing, we should look at the natural resources. If we can incorporate natural resources, it's just going to sustain the economy. It's going to make oil and gas, make the energy prices more stabilized. And I think that we should do.
Okay, we have a question right over here.
Thank you, Senator. Today, the FEC confirmed that they received a complaint that Steve Russell had failed to disclose television advertising on his most recent report. What would you do as far as campaign finance reform for you, yourself, and other members of Congress?
Well, if I have I try to make sure that I have a person that files my paperwork in time and make sure that all the information is there. I don't believe we need a campaign reform, finance reform. I believe we need to follow the law. And if you don't follow the law, just like we have in the House and the Senate, then you get penalized. And if Mr. Russell didn't follow the law, he should be penalized.
Let me ask you, it's been a Republican district since 1975 when John Jarman switched parties from Democrat to Republican. What is your camp doing to get out the vote in your own party, get out your base?
Well, we're contacting the voters, not only the Democrat voters, we're calling the Republican voters as well. I've always carried both sides of the party. I mean, I've carried moderate Republicans, and I've carried the Democrats. Since I was a state representative, I started that in 88, and we continue doing that. Now we've expanded the district down from Northwest 50 to Southwest 44th. And Michael, I have strong support in the moderate Republican field. So what I have done, we have contacted both sides, we put our message out, and we're asking the people to make the decision. And we're just asking the people to support us like they have always in the Senate and the House.
Next question. Here we go, right over here.
Hi, Senator McCaffrey, just a question. As an educator in world languages here in the state of Oklahoma, we have some changes coming up as far as our standards are concerned. When you're in Congress, what do you think you can do to help promote world languages if Oklahoma is supposed to be a global society and yet we are not supported we are supported in very few districts?
Thank you. But in Congress, I'm not sure what I can do to support foreign language in the state of Oklahoma. But I truly believe that we can remove mandates from what is required by the federal government into our local, into our school state superintendents. Hopefully we get a state superintendent that is open-minded, that understands that they need to expand foreign languages. The Oklahoma City and Tulsa is really growing, and we have to look at the trade we're doing. Right now here at the state, we're doing trade with China, we're doing trade with Vietnam, there's two that I know of, and it'd make it advantageous if we had people that was very fluent in both the languages. I think that's something we should work hard on, and we should provide the educators the finances to do so. You know, we've cut over $200 million from our educational budget over the last 8 years. The Republicans have done that. And I'm just saying we had to put money back into our educational budget. But I do believe on the federal basis we can get rid of some of the mandates and let local mandates from our state superintendent's office to mandate some of the educational processes.
Next question. Yes.
Sir, thank you for being here. Just a quick question. What would you consider your greatest achievement, whether passing a bill or anything else in your time in the legislature?
I think there are several bills that we worked on. I might have been the author or co-author. But some of the main bills was domestic violence. I believe that's something that we have to work on and protect. Domestic violence doesn't only affect the lady. It affects the children just as well. And on educational issues, we worked on several educational issues for kids to make sure. One of the things that I would like to have done that I hadn't, if I'd been a senator this next year, we would have tried to work on some things for state assistance for college education. Because right now the cost of education is extremely high. Our universities are working hard trying to hold down the cost. I truly believe that. I talked to Chancellor Johnson last year about that and said we've got to do something. But then on the federal level, we have to look at the cost of student loans. We need to find a way that we can pass a bill that says the kids that have student loans or the people who have student loans should be able to refinance. And I believe it should be tied to the same rate in which the banks are borrowing money from the federal government. Right now, with people with federal loans or student loans are having a tough time buying a house. And that's why we're using apartments. They can't qualify for homes. I still have kids that have student loans, and they're at 6% interest. And they're having a tough time sometimes making that. So I think that some of the bills I passed was over education, public safety. I worked hard on that. Transportation issues. 8 years, I can't sit and tell you all the bills. We hit about 2,000 or 4,000 a year in the House and 2,000 a year in the Senate. But we worked hard. The main thing is to make sure the people of Oklahoma was well represented and the district was well represented.
Do you think there's something that could be done nationally and in Congress to help with the price of tuition and student loans?
Sure, Michael, we can change that. Senator Warren had that. And she couldn't get enough senators to support it, to reduce the letting the kids to the people with student loan be able to refinance. That's something we should do, and I'd be in favor of it.